public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 5537. Nice, Wendy, you have some...
Yes, committee members, we went through most of the presentation yesterday, and was our intention to get back to you on some of the questions that the committee had yesterday, and any additional ones you have this morning during the public hearings portion, and then LFO is prepared, as the agency is as well, to go into the work session and work through some of the issues that we have with this budget. And then, depending on you and the chair's call as to whether we put this budget aside until some other budgets are worked, particularly the DOJ budget or the Department of Administrative Services budget that sets the rates for central government service charges and also sets the rates for the DOJ attorneys. So we'll talk about those issues when we get there, but they have some responses to some of the questions you had yesterday, and then if you have any additional ones, we deal with those during the public hearing piece.
Great. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning. Senator Trill has a question.
Well, if you're ready, Mr. Chairman, I do have.
Did you have some? I'm sorry.
Tell us about your staffing and whether or not it's adequate or inadequate to do what needs to be done.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, we've been really monitoring closely our staffing, and we feel that we are appropriately staffed now. We did our business process review a year ago and looked at every single position to see if the positions were filled appropriately, and we feel that they are. And we feel that we have the people that we need to do our important duties well, and feel that we'd like to maintain what we've got because we think we're doing a good job with it.
Do you have any backlog of work that's not being done?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I believe for the most part we are up to speed. In terms of staff duties, all staff duties are current. We tend to move those things through quickly. I mentioned yesterday the only place where we tend to get some dips in productivity, so to speak, are through the offender appeals, and that's just because it's such a time demand on the individual board members to write full responses to offender appeals. So those ebb and flow a little bit more than I would like, and that's just a goal that we have. But that's at the board level, not at the staff level.
If you were trying to find some efficiencies in the operation, could you identify any?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, as I also mentioned yesterday, we are looking for more automation in our system. And one of the automations that we're looking at is trying to make a system where our orders are mailed out less and sent out on the computer more. We're hoping by the end of the year that our orders can be electronically transmitted to the field so that we don't have to print them in our office and then drop them in the mail and send them on out. That's one key area where we seek to try to be more automated and reduce some of what we have to do internally.
That's all, Mr. Chair.
Questions? On the last question from Senator Trill, I would like you to examine ways to reduce the size of these boxes you're taking over to the archives. At least we talked about a little bit yesterday with the, perhaps the information and technology group. Reduce these files to a disk, because if you're getting charged for space, the degree that you can reduce the space, I guess, then the cost will go down.
Mr. Chair, we certainly will look at doing that. I don't know what is involved in terms of labor intensity in terms of scanning documents from our file. Now it's something we have to examine because some of our files have been around a while and are rather large. I don't know if you have to scan each document, if we currently
I don't know that either.
Personnel to do that, but that is certainly one thing that we would look at and weigh the cost of one against the cost of the other. We'd be glad to do that. Thank you for that suggestion.
These young guys over here might know. They're kind of in this.
Mr. Chair, I did talk with Representative Hill,
mm-hmm.
and he mentioned that he was working on a potential process for all agencies to potentially save money in that regard. And so hopefully at some point we can marry up the rest of our budgets with his idea. and this will probably be sometime this session, but not today.
All right. Thank you for that. Are there any questions? Anything else that...
No, I just wanted to mention in follow-up to some questions that were raised yesterday, Representative Leonard asked the board if we could get information to identify who among the 30% of offenders who are recidivating within the first 3 years of release, who among that 30% are parolees versus people on post-prison supervision. And we contacted the Department of Corrections Research Department, and they do not have it broken out that way. We went through our system and tried to find a way to compile that information and really couldn't do it accurately. And so rather than give you something kind of haphazard today, what we would propose is that we would go back to the DOC research department and see if we couldn't get something to you sort of before or in conjunction with the presentation of the Department of Corrections budget so that you would at least have that information at some point. And we would be glad to work on that. Representative Leonard also asked for some follow-up information on treatment programs. Again, among the 70% who are not recidivating, how many of those are successfully completing alcohol and drug treatment programs in the community? And we got quite a bit of information from the Department of Corrections on the effectiveness of their in-custody treatment programs and some information on community treatment, and I provided that to Representative Leonard and could provide other copies if folks were interested in finally on the archive fees.
Senator Trow.
I was just going to say I would be interested in seeing that information.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I should provide to everybody, but I will get that to you. And then we also did some more looking into the archive issue. I think we used your phrase yesterday. We beat that horse dead. We will work on some alternative ways of dealing with that. I believe that's all I have.
Mr. Eklund or Mr. McGee, any comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd like to address your question yesterday on the mass transit assessment.
Thank you.
I believe in 1981, the legislature adopted statutes authorizing DAS to collect an assessment of up to 0.6% of the wages and salaries of employees working in transit districts to provide to both mass transit districts and transportation districts. And the statute says that is to reimburse for the benefit the state government receives from those districts. The statute does include a specific exemption from parking code requirements for state buildings. So I believe that's the genesis of why that assessment occurs.
1981.
81 is when the statute appears to have been established, so we've been doing that for quite a while.
Just one question about this particular agency and this payment you get to make. Do you know, just offhand, how many people utilize mass transit to get to and from work?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of any of our folks right now, at this time.
Several of our folks carpool together,
mm-hmm.
in close proximity to each other, but none that are using.
All right. I thank you. Before we go into work session, I just wanted to, Mary Botkin is here, and she's been vigilant in watching all this, and I would not want to depart from a public hearing without giving her an opportunity to say something if you so choose. You don't have to bite. We're always thrilled to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mary Botkin, and we represent the folks who work over the parole board. And we don't have any, quote, prepared remarks. Here's our concern. Our concern, and it's going to be consistent, Mr. Chair. You've heard this privately. All of you have. I'll say it publicly. The cuts that this agency is going to experience is fairly significant with the size of the agency. The elimination of from what I can see, a clerical position, a support staff position, is problematic. It is just simply one of those things. where somebody has put pieces of paper in the file. It's a logistical piece that has to be done. And when we make those kinds of cuts, it is significant for an agency this size. The director testified yesterday about the size of the agency a decade ago and the size of the agency today. And it's less than half the size it was. And the workload has changed, but it is still significant. And I think, I mean, I think there are a couple of other things just to kind of set the record straight. Senator Leonard yesterday asked if there were financial challenges for inmates once they go out into the community for getting appropriate treatment programs. And we think that there are significant challenges. Those are county budgets in some cases. And I talked with our county, my county counterparts yesterday, and they agree with us that there are significant challenges in accessing programs that keep the parolees on the straight and narrow. And it's just a matter of capacity. That's all it is. And we're going to be dealing with this across the board. You know it. I know it. These programs are at capacity, and I think there are ongoing challenges to alcohol and drug programs that we're just beginning to see. This is going to be a tough budget. The governor's budget is a tough budget. This is just the first of many that we will see these kinds of problems in, for the lack of a better term. And if there's a way to restore that clerical position, we'd love to have it restored. I mean, there's a real person in that position. This isn't a vacancy. This isn't, you know, I'm not saying that we can't absorb the person somewhere, but we don't have that plan in place yet. And it would be good to not displace a real person if we can, to find a place for them to land on their feet or to keep them where they are. So that's all we have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Other questions? Thank you very much.
While she's here, I guess that would help with the context, since what Mary is referencing is one of the recommendations for the committee to consider from LFO's perspective is the elimination of a mail clerk position 6 months into the next biennium. And part of the rationale for that, first of all, I've been working with this agency for, I think this is my third or fourth session. It's been a progressive for me to work with them and look for ways for them to gain efficiencies. That's why we did the business plan review. That's why we've done a number of things to try and look for ways to automate their system. We looked at duties through that business review to see whether there were classifications that were appropriate for the staff as a result of that review. I believe five positions were upwardly reclassed, so they were given additional duties and responsibilities as well as compensation to deal with some of the clerical duties. They have a total of 10 support staff. The recommendation would be that possibly one of those would go away 6 months into the next biennium. It is in recognition of their increased reliance on automation, the fact that they have an information systems position that's been created for purposes of helping them automate their processes. So it was in the overall context of the agency, that's what that recommendation comes from. Is it driven by directives from the co-chairs to take that reduction? No. It is an LFO recommendation based on review of the budget and what's doable, feasible, and it's for your consideration in work session. It's something there.
It's true. Representative Leonard.
And I'm just curious, as kind of the process that you go through, I should say LFO goes through, you actually analyze specific positions within not just necessarily this budget, but any given budget that we're going to review, and match up job responsibilities to the kinds of things that actually need to be done, and look for efficiencies based on. Do you actually do on-site visits, or are these just discussions you have with the director that brings you to that conclusion? How do you make a decision that, you know, we really don't think you need that position?
It's a combination of things, Representative Leonard. Yes, the on-site visits.
Yes, looking at the processes and procedures, looking at how the business plan review was done, participating in that. Two members of our staff did, as well as Information Management Division. Just in general, looking at how they do their processes and ways that they've identified they can streamline it. And assurances they've given me of directions they're trying to head and how they're trying to make more efficient and effective use of their staff. This position is filled. It is a relatively small agency, as you can see. They have had a large reliance on clerical support positions because so much of what they've done hasn't been automated. Over the last two or three biennia, a lot of their activities, you know, have become more automated. So I've talked to the agency director about it in terms of whether this is something that could be done, is appropriate based on their the level of progress they're making in automation. And had a degree of comfort with the fact that it was absorbable and doable. I did also recommend, in conjunction with that, some temporary funding to provide for if they have workload fluctuations and they needed to bring somebody in on short term to make sure that there wasn't any, to see how that works. And then I'm planning on being around to see if it carries itself through and review it a biennium from now.
Mr. Chair, just to kind of follow that up, and again, I'm just curious more. Process-wise, how that occurs. So I'm interested that I'm assuming Department of Administrative Services does something kind of like that when they're putting together the governor's recommended budget. And without trying to do this and that, how is it that we can come to the conclusion that we can save just in not necessarily this position, but any given position they didn't? Is it because it's later in the process and there's more information available, or what do we do different that gets us to where we can make a recommendation that didn't come out of DAS?
I guess you have different perspectives on how they can get the job done. I having not gone through the governor's rec, don't know what trade-offs were made. I've went through, as I will with every agency, the reduction options that they offered, what priorities they place on those in terms of which ones there are their highest priorities and which ones are, I think, the least impact if we have to make reductions, or if there are ones that I feel, based on their changes in operations, are appropriate. Bill would have to probably speak to maybe his rationale for not reducing that.
But it's totally independent analysis.
It is independent.
So you guys don't get together and necessarily come to an agreement. You do your analysis and they do theirs, and sometimes they match and sometimes they don't.
That's correct. And you know, this is one of those situations where if the agency does struggle with workload, you know, then that's why this we have opportunities for them to come before the e-board or whatever, and then our DAS has the ability to recreate limited duration positions. I mean, if there are serious problems, there are ways to fix them. Part of my recommendation was that I believe this is doable within the existing resources and workload. And the investment they're making in the systems analyst position and the progress that they can make with that in balance, I think it's doable.
Senator Crow?
You know, we have a new procedure for dealing with these budgets, and I think generally it's a pretty good procedure. One of the things I'd hope, though, that in the analyst's initial remarks to us, that if there were areas where there would be significant changes in the budget, that he would point those, or she would point those out to us in advance, so we'd have some ability to direct our questions while we're dealing with the agency to get answers to those questions. And I hope that can happen. I think probably for all agencies, though, mm-hmm. efficiency and staffing are legitimate questions that we ought to just ask in the course of that, because that's a legitimate thing to look at, clearly. I was a little surprised to see the recommendations that you're going to be coming forward with based on what we have heard. It sounds to me like everything's going fine. I don't know whether we need to reduce a staff person here at all. I'm not convinced of that, but maybe we can be convinced of it. But I do like the process, and I like the way, Mr. Chair, you've run the discussion and allowed us to ask the questions we want to ask. And so I'm not critical. I hope, though, that if the analysts, when they make that initial presentation, they see some obvious things that we're going to deal with in their recommendations later, that they would give us some advance warning of those so we can ask questions related to those things.
Thank you.
I will do that.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank
Is there
you.
Anyone else who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 5537? If not, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5537. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 5537. Mr. Nicewinder?
Yes. Committee members, today what I wanted to do with you is review some of the major issues contained in this budget. And as we talked about in the budget yesterday, there are significant workload shifts. They're doing fewer prison release hearings, and there is more administrative work. A lot of that burden does fall on the board members as well as the support staff. There have been some increases in AG's costs, which all of you have talked about. Those are primarily driven by rate increases that are proposed in DOJ's budget. The policy package essentially restores a reduction that was taken last biennium that wasn't sustainable. This agency has done a business practice review. It was done with the intention of looking for ways to improve their efficiency and effectiveness to make sure that technology was supporting their operations in the most efficient and effective way. They did that. As a result of that, they did identify some duties that could be shifted and realigned, some positions that could be reclassified. During this last interim, a position was reclassified to be an information systems person within their agency who helped them. They've made progress. They're continuing to make progress in automating some things. One of the intentions behind that business practice review was to see if there could be ways to reduce some of their reliance on the relatively large number of support staff positions. There were governor's reductions taken in the development of the governor's budget. We talked about those. The psych evaluation policy change, about a $43,000 reduction, reduced information systems consulting based on their increased ability to do that in-house. It was about an $88,000 reduction. The parole violations hearings, due to the reduced volume of those, and there was a small reduction taken from those as well, about $21,490. And then the LEDS terminal leasing fees. This is something you'll see in several budgets where they receive LEDS information, the law enforcement data system. They're phasing out the terminal fees, and they're going to a PC-based system that doesn't require the department to pay those fees. So that's a reduction that's in the governor's recommended budget. In terms of decisions for the subcommittee to consider, it's whether or not they want to accept those reductions that were made in the governor's recommended budget, consider any additional reductions, and whether or not they want to approve the policy package, which is to restore AG's fees. What I have come up with and put before you is two things, a cover memo, which I believe probably all of you have seen, which outlines four LFO recommended adjustments to the budget. And we can talk about each of those individually. As I mentioned earlier, these are LFO recommended adjustments. The co-chair's budget hasn't been formulated in such a manner that I know a certain percent or target or anything in this budget that would direct or mandate these. These are things for your consideration and what LFO's analysis would show would be reasonable reductions and adjustments to make. There is one additional one that I'm recommending that's not listed on here. It's a technical amendment. It has to do with establishing an account. And I gave you a single sheet to explain what that is, this draft language. Each agency that has receives other funds or federal funds needs to have an account that is continuously appropriated. What happens is that they have to have an ability to take those funds in, put them into an account, and then we set the expenditure limitation. If we didn't budget an expenditure limitation, then they could spend everything they receive. This is an account that needs to be established for this agency, probably should have been over the course of several biennia. In my research and working with counsel, couldn't find one last night. I don't think anything showed up this morning for you guys. So this is something I talked to council about this morning and confirmed the need for, and this is something that can be amended into the appropriation bill just to ensure that they have the
It would be in the bill, it would be in the statute.
It would also be in, yeah, in the budget bill, and then
if necessary, this could be carried on in law, I believe, afterwards. We can talk specifically about the recommended changes. As I mentioned before, the one support position that is recommended is one that was identified as a potential reduction option by the agency. I have talked to them about this, and it's been something that we've talked about through the business review process as well. I would encourage you to talk to the agency about the impact of that as well for your comfort level. It is for your consideration. I wouldn't recommend it to you if I didn't believe it was achievable without adversely impacting their ability to carry out their mission. The other, in response to some of the concern they might have in the short term in terms of phasing this position out, there is some funds that I would recommend that you add back to give them an ability to hire temporary staff as a transitionary measure. That's the $20,000 add back for to help them with this biennium if there, in fact, is a need for temporary staff to make this transition. The other adjustments are more technical in nature. $2,007 addition for general fund is to cover psychological evaluations. Last session, there was a bill passed, House Bill 2328, which requires that sexually violent, dangerous offenders be intensely supervised. That bill also required that the parole board and the Department of Corrections jointly identify those that are eligible for release in any given biennium, and then the budget should, both budgets should be adjusted to cover the costs related to that. DOC's budget will have an addition, because it was not in the governor's rec for them as well, to cover the intensive supervision costs for a group of offenders that fit that profile. In this budget, there are about six offenders that will need psychological evaluations that the budget wasn't built to assume those were going to be in there, and so this is to cover that cost. The other one is a PERS rate adjustment, and this will be something we'll be making in all budgets, and that's that there was a very late adjustment to the employer's contribution rate, and this is a percentage rate reduction that that applies to their base budget to reflect what they're actually going to be paying.
So that amount went down?
Yes.
Because of?
They declare the rates each, I guess, late every year.
First board.
And it went down 1.53% in terms of what they were expecting employers to contribute. And so.
Pass that along to Senator Burford.
I will. not a large change, but nonetheless, it has changed
right.
Downward. So
I think it will relieve some pressure. we need for him to know that this morning.
So, as will be the case with all the budgets, these are recommendations. I would tell you if any of these are specifically done at the directive of the code force. In this case, these are eligible recommended changes.
All right. Senator Trell?
Sure. If we go ahead with the elimination of the position, then in order to make the staff capable of doing everything, we give them $20,000 so that they can use temporary staff to do some of the things. So we're getting rid of one permanent staff. We're going to have some temporary staff. $20,000, that's not a lot of money to hire temporary staff, so that's not a lot. But do you see that... that eventually with this reduced staff, they will be able to get along without the temporary staff? Do they need this for transition, or is this something they're going to need in another budget later on to make sure that this reduced staff can do its work?
Chair Miller, Senator Trow, I would look at this as a one biennium transitionary allowance and then review it every biennium. I'll tell you that through the interim, I do monitor their, DAS sets up allotment plans, and they do expend their budget on and provide reports to both LFO and DAS on how they're executing their budget. And they are very good about managing within allowable resources. This is something that I think gives them a little bit of flexibility, at least in this transitionary period, to ensure that if they had short-term workload fluctuations, that they could, in fact, bring temporary staff in to do this, and this is the nature of the work would allow this this type of work to be done with temporary.
I'll ask Ms. Ray whether or not you can continue your mission in the if this position is eliminated.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to lose a position in this agency. This position was added to the list of reductions because this agency was required to come up with a 10% reduction in our budget for the governor to consider. And with 70% of our budget being personnel, you can't get to 10% without including some consideration for personnel. The governor's recommended budget already takes 5.5% of our current service level. Reduction options that are left are the ones kind of before you today. Two of those relate to automation, having persistent analyst position and expendable property is buying computers. So the push is towards automation. That doesn't make sense to make those cuts, and that leaves the one FTE position. I know that our folks would work hard to try to fill the duties of this position, but it's not preferable for our agency. The reason we ask for temporary funds, and Mr. Nicewinder did advise me that he was going to recommend this cut. I didn't mean to infer earlier that, you know, I didn't know that that was going to be proposed. But I can't say that I agree with it, because I don't want to lose any of our folks. Because we are so small, if we have two or three out of 10 people, or what would be 9 people now, out due to illness or other unexpected events, then our agency becomes severely impacted. We are a public safety agency. If things don't get done on time, there are public safety concerns. Our orders need to get out on time so that offenders are legally obligated not to contact victims, not to contact children. So does this give me anxiety? It certainly does. Not necessarily because I couldn't find ways to farm out these duties, but it just puts us that much closer to the edge of what could really be, I think, a real public safety nightmare. So that's the most honest answer I can give you, and I hope that that's helpful to you, because I want to cooperate with the duties that you have. And I know you've got responsibilities of your own, but with the agency our size, this is and could be even more so a real difficult reduction for us.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And I would just say I have, you know, I share that anxiety, but I just sense this is the beginning of maybe a soft beginning of some really tough decisions given the budget constraints and the other budgets we deal with in this committee. This is like, I don't want to minimize it, but like a kind of a lob, and then they're going to get faster and faster. I mean, the pitches are going to be faster and faster, and to hit them are going to be harder and harder as we go. And that's kind of how I'm taking this, is like, oh my God, here we go. And I have a lot of respect for Larry and his work. And I think, when it's tough like this in the beginning, and it's going to get tougher, I think we have to get the benefit of the doubt. If it's a close call to, you know, the work that's done here, and as horrible as it's going to be, we have a state police budget to look at, and prisons, and this is not going to be fun.
Mr. Chair, with regard to the disposition of the budget once we're done working it today, my impression is that it probably would not be ready to move to the floor of either house, but will be back before us to make other adjustments to it. Probably work it and at least have a question mark around the staffing issue, and then see when it comes back to us whether we ought to relook at whatever our decision is about it at that point.
Well, that's the chair's intention, is to work as much as we can through this budget, but my own view is, until at least I can have some comfort level with the Attorney General charges and with the archives charge, and if we can get those reduced, and I think there's a decent chance we can, then maybe there's room either to retain this position? Or, in light of, again, and I think Representative Leonard's description of our situation is right on target, that not only the budgets within this committee, but those you've heard about from your constituencies and other sources, you know, all of this is, it's one big mission, and if you save something here, then that makes it possible to afford it somewhere else, perhaps. So anyway, that's what I would suggest, Larry, is that we'll work through those, the options here, and we'll, if this committee has agreement, we'll conclude on those options, and then we'll come back at least to the number that is based on the Attorney General charges and the archive charges. And if there are any other things you're uncertain about, that's fine, too. We can defer. Yes, Representative Knope.
Mr. Chair, when does the AG's budget come before us? I mean, is that, obviously that's going to be an indicator in several of our budgets. Is that coming soon?
Actually, it will be starting, a week from tomorrow. So it'll be the second budget up in this committee, which is good, because it does have a rippling effect through all agencies on the DOJ rate. So beginning to work on that now. And they're planning on being in here starting on Wednesday, and I believe they'll be in here for close to 8 hearing days. So we'll have a good opportunity to review everything. And I will encourage you to ask questions early on so we can get a lot of answers back. I will, consistent with Senator Tro's wishes, be very upfront about some of the issues that I'm looking at and ways that I'm looking to reduce the budget if I can with either general fund ways or in the charge rate.
Thank you, Laurie. I appreciate that.
These things are work in progress. A lot of the decisions and the review and the analysis are done. I wouldn't want you to think that I'm doing these a week or two in advance, because I'm not. The governor's rec notebooks in some cases don't get here until within a few days of when the hearing starts. So there are some limitations as to how much detailed information even I have. I don't have DOJ's governor's rec budget in detail yet, but when I do get it, you know, I'm working on a lot of other things, everything and everything I can in preparation, and I will surface issues and let you know areas that I'm looking at, even concurrently with the subcommittee hearings. So, with what Senator Miller said as direction, I will proceed with this memo. I think one of the things that the budget review process wanted the subcommittees to do was to provide some information in the budget notes in terms of, you know, expectations for what the agency could do and should do in terms of focusing efforts within the recommended funding levels. And there were several things talked about yesterday that I wanted to follow up with you on today. I put 3 statements in this memo just so you could see some things that from LFO's perspective are things that would like to see emphasized. The first bullet relates to the assistant analyst position, and that is at this point they really don't have a detailed work plan for that person to complete in the next biennium. I think this is a position that has a great deal of potential to help them with a lot of their automation processes, and this is basically to encourage them to develop a detailed work plan for that position further automate processes and streamlining, and also to report back to Ways and Means on progress made so that decisions can be made about whether or not this full-time position is continued in biennials to follow. This, too, was one of the potential reduction options to share an analyst position with DOC. LFO doesn't recommend that at this time. I think there's a lot more value to be gained by the creation of that position and the use of technology. But that is one area that I believe that they can focus some efforts in next biennium. The second was some of the discussion we had yesterday about their legal costs and ways to contain legal costs. I think there are things that they can do with Judicial and Dispute Resolution Commission and Department of Justice, and I guess this was a statement to encourage them in their efforts to do that. There are a lot of things that are outside of control, as Diane testified yesterday. There are things that can be improved upon, specifically communication, and perhaps some of the direction that this committee provides DOJ will also be of benefit to them. The third one is to deal with the timeliness of information. One of the things that came through the business review process was that customers were wanting, you know,
efforts to be made, and really there's shared responsibility here between DOC and the board to give them, the community corrections folks, timely information so that they get release information and conditions of release information in a timely manner. And so this third bullet was basically to encourage them in their efforts to provide that information timely. And I guess it raises the level of awareness for both the board as well as DOC that they need to get that information timely so that the community corrections people get it timely. They're not doing poor work in this area, I think, but there is some improvement that can be made, and that's why I drafted that one for your consideration. Since putting this together, there was others that you mentioned.
Let me ask the members if they have any comments on these first three recommended expectations. Anybody agree, disagree? Would you like that in a motion? Senator Trow?
Mr. Chair, what I would do would be to move the LFO recommendation with and have us vote on that, with the idea that you as chair would, when you bring this budget back to us, would let us at least reconsider the staffing recommendations.
Yeah, all I'm saying is I'm just drafting this language, adopting this language, and we haven't made a decision on the, if I'm understanding yours. I'm looking at those three bullet paragraphs only.
Just the first top three?
No, at the bottom of the page, subcommittee expectations.
I see. Yeah. No, those are fine with me.
And just discussing whether or not we want to adopt that language to go in with our report.
Are you suggesting those be the motion of those? Or that
they'll be included when we complete the, when we fill in the numbers, make the other decisions. My guess is we probably still, these are still relevant. We'd still want to include them in whatever.
Sure. Let's ask if they have any discomfort with those things.
Mr. Chair, Senator Troy, I do not have any discomfort.
Mr. Chair, do you want a motion on those?
Yes, Senator Troy moves to adopt the language identified as subcommittee expectations of accomplishment with recommended funding for statements to be included in our budget report. Their discussion, their objection, hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered.
Would it be the chair's wish that there also be a statement made about the archives? We can mention it in the budget report without having one of these statements drafted today, but there was some expectation.
The chair would move that the language be included in our report, that an effort be made to minimize the space required in the archives building for storage of board's records, an effort to save money. Language to that effect moved. Is there discussion, objection, hearing and seeing none? It is ordered. There's also draft language on the additional page with respect to this revolving account.
Yes, Chair, I would move that be inserted into the bill.
Senator Trow moves to adopt the language dealing with the revolving account. Is there discussion? Objection, hearing and seeing none, it is adopted. Now we can return perhaps to even something more contentious. And we can go through if there are corresponding numbers here to your recommendations.
Yes. If I could have you turn to page 4 of 7.
We're all on.
The first page is the first three pages are really summary level information. I think the additional detail that you might want to look at, it starts on page 4. What this outline gives you. What this outline gives you is it walks you from the legislatively adopted budget through the emergency board hearings and provides you with a line-by-line explanation of the how the budget was built. This department did appear at the emergency board one time, at least DAS did on their behalf for, I believe this was for employees' compensation changes. The other board appearance was after April, so it doesn't show up here, and that's why the AG's fees are shown up in as a policy package. The PERS rate reduction that we talked about earlier is shown up there as a part of the base budget adjustments, because that is a change to the current service level when that factor changes. So that's why you see that $3,596 adjustment. That is the only adjustment that is being recommended. They are getting a $23,000 increase for anticipated merit increases in the budget. And unless there's any questions on those base budget adjustments, I'd turn you to the next page. There are, as a part of the essential packages, they do get an allowance for the mass transit tax of $1,055. And inflation adjustments, I tried to give you a little bit of detail there in terms of what their, why their budget is being built with additional $73,000. Most of that is due to the rate increase for AG. Professional services contracts, they do have some professional services contracts, and that's with the counties primarily for the hearings, and those are increased by inflation at about 3.5%.
Question, Representative Smith?
Yes, I can follow here. Chrysler, what's that mean?
Remember in the notebook yesterday we talked about the various central government service charges and what the assessments that DAS charges against the agency. That's what that list is. It's under agency summary. It's toward the back. It's this sheet right here where we talk about the tort insurance, property insurance, gas assessments. Those really are central government service charges and eight prices that they're required to adjust their budget for.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Knope.
I have a question. In regards to those price lists, I noticed there's significant bumps, at least percentage-wise, for the two insurance-related issues. I think it was tort insurance and property insurance. Although the dollar value is seemingly insignificant in this particular budget, is that going to be reflected in other budgets that we're going to see? And if so, why the percentage increases? It seemed like 15% to 25% in those two items.
And Bill, I don't know if that was something that you would be able to speak to. Again, DAS budget will be looked at in the other subcommittee. All these central government service charges will be in terms of the basis for those. This is one of those where they are probably doing the risk management division that assesses how much they anticipate in payouts or have had their history and experience, and they basically do like an experience modification, if you will, to say how much they're running and they're anticipating liability. I don't have any definite answer for how this one, if this is going to be reflective of all the budgets. I don't know if you have any additional information on that.
Yes, Bill McGee from DAS. The only information I can give you is that the assessments are based both on the size of the agency and the risk history. So I'd assume that the increase is related to risk history of the agency, but I don't have any more specific information on those charges.
Another question. I'm glad that Representative Smith looked at this price list. Under the audits division charge, should we assume that the board's going to be audited in this biennium since they're being charged for it?
Mr. Chair, I believe that the Secretary of State's budget is changing its assessment policy from a history of actual audits, projection of actual audits, to a risk assessment scheme. I don't know the details of that. I know the Secretary of State will be presenting that to you when their budget comes forward. Change. I don't know that this necessarily assumes there will be an audit. I would guess, since there was not a financial audit in the last 2 years, it's likely that there would be in this coming biennium. I don't know that for certain.
Well, that'd be a question I need to have answered, because at least it was my impression if we didn't get away from that, mm-hmm. that scheme is the right word. It's my hope that we would. It's a great way to raise money, is to bill everybody for services you don't provide.
I know in previous biennium there was an amount included based on anticipated audits, and it was based on an estimate of what they believed the audit would take.
Well, if they're not being audited in this cycle, it would be my recommendation that that charge be removed. And again, when we're looking at your personnel, my guess is if you're not going to have to spend money for an audit, you'd probably just soon have that person dealing with a record so that the public can be warned about people being released. I mean, it's just pretty fundamental, I think. It's just me.
Just one more reason to probably wait till
I hate to do that. This is almost the old chicken and egg thing, but we got some holes that need to be filled by the
dashboard. I see both sides of that, sure, but I think it makes sense to wait and see.
Okay. Hopefully we won't be in here in June waiting for the answers. You'd like that. All right.
Okay. In terms of the policy packages that are listed there, 090, these are the reductions that are made in the governor's recommended budget. The combined total is $168,246. We talked about each of those earlier. That just shows you how that shows up in the spreadsheet as a total. The add back is the policy package, the Restore AG's funding, the $119,826. Essentially, that restores the $93,000 that was reduced, and it also adds in for the rate increase that is proposed in the DOJ's budget. In looking at their AG's expenses over the course of the biennium, they have been averaging a little over $12,000 per month. And if you take the rate increase and apply it, you would easily average $15,000 at a minimum per month, which would build to the amount that this was plus their base budget is a reasonable amount to include in their budget, and that's why LFO would concur with that as a add-back package and is not recommending any adjustment to that. The next four line items reflect the LFO recommended adjustments to the budget, which we will bring back and discuss in a later work session, and which leads you to the adjustment in the budget, which would take the general fund down from $2,959,720 down, the governor's recommended, down another $46,526 to, and I've tried to give you some narrative there to the right to just talk about the rationale for those adjustments.
Let me ask, of the adjustments, are there some of these packages that are complete and don't have the price list, unanswered questions where we could proceed and perhaps adopt?
I believe that the adjustment to the psychological evaluations is stands alone, as well as the adjustment for the PERS. That's more of a technical adjustment. Those two, I would say that probably the adjustments that I've listed there as LFO adjustment 1 and 2 are ones that we probably should revisit when we bring
right.
it back for final.
Well, we could do 3.
Could do, yes. And 3 is basically a technical in that the department did build its budget to based on the assumption of psychological evaluations would be conducted. They applied their policy. But this is a population that wasn't considered in the governor's rec development, and these are offenders. There are 6 offenders in the group that both DOC and the parole board has identified are in all likelihood going to have psychological evaluations, and this is the estimated cost of fulfilling those evaluations. These are 4, again, sexually violent, dangerous offenders that are scheduled to be released.
Here, do you want a motion on that one?
Well, I'm wondering, this is a part of this package 100, correct?
Actually, it's separate from it, because package 100 was really for attorney general fees.
Well, what under, if I look at policy packages, 090, 100, then you get Is it? It's not sub one.
No, it's these are
totally separate.
Yeah, these are LFO adjustments to the governor's.
All right. Well, then Senator Tro has moved that we adopt the package identified as 3 under LFO adjustment funds for psychological examination evaluations. Questions? There an objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is adopted.
Unless there are any other specific requests of the committee, I think we have adopted everything that there is a degree of comfort with doing. And what I will do is I will schedule this back for, I'll give you some advance notice in committee, and I'll schedule it back to a work session following the DAS and the DOJ budgets.
Before we close, let me just ask to again, my thanks to Representative Smith. Your state treasurer charge goes from 0 to 480. I fail to recall why that is inserted.
These are charges that.
Are you getting some service from the state treasurer? That,
Mr. Chair, yes, we are. We deposit our funds, our other funds, with them, and so we are charged a fee each month.
Okay. Did this just start?
It started about 6 months ago.
Okay, so this is a brand new charge. You're okay with it?
It's a brand new charge for basement usage.
Thank you. Is there any other questions? If not, I thank the committee and thank you all for being here. And please feel free to discuss with LFO, with other members, any concerns you have about the budget, about the potential reductions. And I'm sure that Ms. Ray would be happy to discuss those things with you too, Mr. Ackman. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank the committee, and we are adjourned.